There's a pasuk in Parshas Yisro, and a Chazal interpreting what goes on in Masechet Shabbos that I'd like to study with you. You know that before the Torah was given in this week's parsha, Bnei Yisrael had 3 days in which they separated themselves from their wives. Have you heard about that? Yes. Now, in the pasuk itself, the command that Moshe receives from Hashem, it doesn't indicate that there were 3 days. The simple pshat would be that there are only 2 days. Because take a look at the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, lech el ha'am, v'kidashtem hayom u'machar."
2 days.
2 days, today and tomorrow. Tanya, the Braisa tells us in Masechet Shabbos, Shlosha Dvarim Asa Moshe Midaito. There were 3 conclusions, 3 decisions that Moshe made on his own, Midaito. V'hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imo, and Hashem gave his approval. Number 1, Hosif Echad Yom Echad Midaito. He added another day based on his own conclusion. This is Midaito, his own decision. The other 2 issues are not relevant to us today. Piresh Mina Isha, he separated from his wife Tzipora. Shiber Saluchos, he destroyed the tablets. So we see that Moshe made a decision. Midaito. The pages if you want. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to his decision. And in this case, he added a 3rd day. So the Gemara says the following. Hosif yom echad midaito. It says in the Braisa that Moshe added a 3rd day. My darish, there must have been some reason that compelled Moshe. Is there some drasha that Moshe had? You know, he saw a pasuk and he derived the conclusion that you have to add a 3rd day. So the Gemara says, Hayom u'machar. You remember that Hashem, the pasuk tells Hashem told Moshe, V'kidashtam hayom u'machar, today and tomorrow. Now, one of the rules that we have when we interpret the Torah is that if you have 2 words next to each other, you compare them. Hayom u'machar. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to look at hayom, and he's going to say that machar has to be similar to hayom. There's some sort of similarity. Hayom u'machar. Or if you reverse it, hayom u'machar means that today has to be similar to tomorrow. So the Torah is telling, Hashem is telling Moshe that there's got to be 2 days of separation. Hayom, today, and tomorrow. And you and I would have said that today means today and tomorrow means tomorrow. So let's say, for example, if Moshe received this tzivui on a Wednesday, right, on a Wednesday, and then he transmits this tzivui to the people the very next morning, so when would the Torah be given?
The day after.
Well, what day of the week would it be? Again, Moshe wakes up Thursday morning, you know, he calls the people to attention, and he says, Hayom u'machar, today, which is what day of the week? Thursday. And then Friday would be the completion, and that's when the Torah could be given. However, Chazal say that the Torah was given on Shabbos. And the reason for that is because Moshe added another day. He says it's not just Thursday, it's got to be Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos, and then the Torah could be given. Why did Moshe add that 3rd day? Because Hashem said to him, Hayom u'machar. And Moshe interpreted thusly, Hayom kim'machar. Today, meaning the 1st day of separation, has to be like machar, like tomorrow. Ma'machar, just like tomorrow, lelo imo. Okay, if you're looking at those 2 words, you might want to underline them. I have a pen here if you need one. Oh no, I don't have a pen actually. Usually when I don't have a pen, it means my wife borrowed my pen. But in this case, I can't blame my wife. You know, I left it in the other room. So those are the 2 key words. If you see those keywords, lelo, kiyomo. Okay, now let's see what's going on. What is a day in Jewish law? What do you say, George? Say it out loud.
Night to night.
Correct. Night and then day. So you need a 24-hour unit that begins at night and goes to the day. And that's called Vayerev Vayivoker. Correct? Now, Moshe received the tzivui of Hayomu Machar on a Wednesday. Correct? And Wednesday itself is problematic. Because let's say if he were to get the people together on that Wednesday, then what would that Wednesday have and what would it not have?
It would be a full day.
It would not be a full day because it only has day, it doesn't have night. And since the Torah said, Hashem said to Moshe, Hayom u'machar, Moshe said, let's make that analogy, that's the equation. Hayom like machar. Just like machar, tomorrow is a full day, lelo imo, those are the two keywords, lelo imo, it means night and then day, is hayom, so to today, the first day of these 2 days, also has to be lelo imo. But Laila de Ha'idna Nafkale, I've already missed the opportunity of this day's night because Hashem spoke to him in the morning. Shmamina, therefore Moshe derives the conclusion, Trei Yomi Levarmi Ha'idna. I need to add 2 more days besides today. So if today is Wednesday, but it's already Wednesday by day, Yom Revi by Boker, then I've already lost yesterday, so that can't be counted, because as David said before, that's not a complete day. Then I've got to add tomorrow, which is going to be Thursday. Then I'm going to add Friday, because it says Hayom Ulamachar. You would have thought Hayom is Wednesday. No, Hayom can't be Wednesday, because then it's not Hayom Kimachar. It's got to be today like tomorrow. Just like tomorrow has to be a full day, correct? So too, the first day, which is called Hayom. So Moshe therefore pushes everything off by a day. Do you follow what I'm saying? You look a little confused.
No,
you got it?
I'm just stunned by the idea.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, so Moshe added another day, correct?
Thank you.
Yeah.
How does he come to the idea that it has to be a full day? If I'm telling you today, today is today.
Correct, because it says Hayom U'machar.
Right.
And, you know, we have what's called the Midosh HaTorah Nidreshes for him. There's certain rules by which we interpret the Torah. And if it says in the Torah Hayom U'machar as one set, then the Hayom, which is the first day of Prisha, has to be similar to Machar. Just like Machar is a full day, which starts with night, Vayerev, and then goes over to the day, Vayiboker, so too, that's called Machar, Hayom also has to be a full 24-hour period of Laila followed by Yom, and that's impossible because Moshe gets the Tzivui on the fourth day of the week, on Yom Revi, by day. Therefore, Moshe derives the conclusion that it's not enough to go out and tell the people to separate today. We're going to have to add Wednesday as the first couple, Thursday is going to be the first full day. Friday is going to be the second full day. And then the Torah is going to be given on what day?
Shabbos.
On Shabbos. And this is all Moshe's own calculation. So the Gemara asks, after all, he pushed off Matan Torah by one day. You know, that's not a simple matter. How do you know that God agreed to him? And the answer is, Dilo Sharye Shechina Ad Safra De Shabsa. Sharye Shechina is Aramaic for Hashras Hashechina. When did the Shechina finally descend upon Har Chorev, upon Har Sinai? That was only on Shabbos. In other words, it works like this. B'nai Yisrael, let me just go through the sequence of it, and then George, the floor is yours. B'nai Yisrael reach Har Sinai on the first day of the week, correct? That's Yom Rishon. Now, Moshe gets a tzivui a few days later on Yom Revi'i of Hayom U'machar. V'kidashtem Hayom U'machar. If we would have interpreted Hayom in its simple interpretation, then it would mean that Wednesday would be the first day of separation, Thursday would be Machar, and then the Torah would be given on what?
Friday.
On Friday. Why was it then that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared on the mountain to give the Torah on Shabbos? It's because he agreed to Moshe's calculation that you need two full days, and therefore Wednesday cannot be included. You're going to need Wednesday, Yom Revi plus Yom Chamishi and Yom Shishi, and the first opportunity to give the Torah would be on Shabbos. That's why the Shechina didn't bother showing up until Shabbos.
But the agreement is only after the fact.
Correct, and that's going to be true in all three cases. Moshe is going to break the luchos. Hashem is going to say Yashikach Shashibarta. Moshe's Parish Mina Isha, and then Hashem is going to reveal to him he did the right thing. So to here, Moshe adds another day of Prisha, meaning not only Wednesday, but now we need two full days, Hayom U'Machar, meaning Thursday and Friday, correct? And only after that, Hayom U'Machar, which is Thursday and Friday, on Shabbos, the Torah is going to be given. And Hashem said to him, good gezapt, you said it well. You know, that Hashem gave him, Hashem gave him the approval. Rabbosai, I have to ask you the following question. And that is, when Hashem gives this tzivui on a Wednesday, has the Torah been given yet? Torah hasn't been given yet. No, so what we're looking at in this pasuk, v'kidashtem hayom u'machar,
is pre-Sinai.
It's pre-Sinai, therefore it's not in the written Torah. We have a law that says that there's nevuah, there's prophecy, and then there's Torah. Two separate entities. And the difference is fundamental. When Torah emerges, I'll use a brisker terminology, a cheftza shel Torah, that gives you license to read every single word, every single letter, and darshan it according to the Midosh HaTorah Nidreshes by them. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu is darshaning a pasuk in Chumash
that hasn't even been written yet.
It's not even part of Torah. And therefore, when the Gemara says that it was Midaito, and you might ask, what do you mean Midaito? Why is this called Midaito? Moshe Rabbeinu initiated this with his own intellect. It's not so. It wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu's decision. It's Midine Hekesh. It's Midin Hayom Umacha. But the answer is that it's got to be Midaito. Why does it have to be Midaito? Because the Torah wasn't written yet. If the Torah wasn't written yet, then all these rules and regulations that apply, the hermeneutic principles, if you want to use the fancy word, through which we interpret the Torah, they don't even apply. And therefore, that's what's going to be Midaito. So I'll read to you the language of Tosus there in the Sugya in Shabbos. Tosus says, Ein zu drasha gemura. You can't call this a full-fledged drasha, right? Because, after all, otherwise, why is it midaito? Ela mashma. But rather, it occurred to Moshe Rabbeinu dehayom, that the word hayom, which came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth into Moshe Rabbeinu's intellect as a kabbalist nevuah, is mamish, meaning you need a complete day v'shleimus. The lav hachi eino midaito. If you're going to tell me, says Tosus, that this is a complete drasha, that hayom u'machar engenders a hekesh, where hayom has to be exactly like machar, has to be a full day, then why does the Gemara say that this is midaito? This is drasha, and a drasha gemura is something that not only are we permitted to do, it's not just a license, but we're obligated to do. And therefore, Tosus says this is not a drasha gemura. But Rabbosai, I don't understand the Tosus at all. What does Tosus mean when he says that this is not a drasha gemura? He simply implies that it is a drasha, but it's not a drasha gemura. What do you mean a drasha? What kind of drasha is it? We have drashas on Psukim and Tanakh, and especially in the five books of Moses, but the five books of Moses have not been codified yet. And how, therefore, can we say that this is a drasha, and it might even be a drasha gemura? Tosfos says, no, it's not a drasha gemura. So for this, Rabbosai, we have to know a sugya in Masechta Gittin, on Daf Samach. The Gemara has one opinion that's called Torah Megillah Megillah Nitna, which means that the Torah was not given in one fell swoop at one time, but there were various sittings, so to speak, various sections. And the first Megillah, the first section of the Torah, goes from Bereishis until Matan Torah. That's the first Megillah. So then it could very well be that what Tosis has in mind when he says Ein Zu Drasha Gemura is that if it would have been a Drasha Gemura, it would have been a Drasha based on the first Megillah. But the only thing is, Rabbosai, it's a nice shot, but it's wrong. What I just told you is absolutely wrong. Because what Megillah Nitna means is that although the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in sections, the first section was given on what calendar date? On the 6th of Sivan, on the day of Matan Torah. Even the first Megillah itself did not emerge until Har Sinai. So we haven't really solved our problem. Namely, how could Tosis apply the laws of Drushos? How did Moshe Rabbeinu apply the rules of Drushos to a Megillah that wasn't even given to Moshe at that time?
It could be maybe a section where Moshe spoke to a Kodesh Baruch to make his calculation.
Oh. So I want to say it a little differently, George, but very similar to what you wanted to say. I want to suggest the following. That although Moshe Rabbeinu received Nevuah and he received Torah, nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah had a special status. What do I mean? We have something called Torah Shebichsav. And we have something called Torah Shebal Peh. When Moshe receives Torah, that's Torah Shebichsav. Every word, every letter. When Moshe receives a Nevuah, if that Nevuah is coming as part of a Tzivui, a command that Moshe is going to transmit to Klal Yisrael, then, although it doesn't have the status of Torah Shebichsav, it does have the status of what? Of Torah Shebal Peh. The greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu is the following. Moshe Rabbeinu, although he is given both Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh, he's able to separate between the two. The greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu is that he's able to categorize and sift out that one Nevuah that he's given is Torah, meaning Torah Shebichsav. It's got to be written, and it's got to be part of the Mesorah, and it's given as Torah Shebichsav for all generations. Other Nevuahs, which are also relevant to Klal Yisrael, they have the status of Torah Shebal Peh. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu gets a Nevuah in which Hashem says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. What did Hashem say to Moshe? Lech el ha'am. You have the first pasuk there on the top of your page. Lech el ha'am. Correct? Lech el ha'am. V'kidashtam hayom u'machar. What is the status of that Nevuah? Is that a Nevuah that's going to be Torah Shebal Peh? Or is that a Nevuah that's going to ultimately become Torah Shebichsav? And who is, of course, God is going to make that decision, but who is aware of that decision? Who has the uncanny ability to already anticipate whether that Nevuah will be Torah Shebichsav and will be ultimately incorporated into the written Torah, or it will always remain for all posterity Torah Shebal Peh? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness is such that he's able to discern when he hears a Nevuah whether that or not that Nevuah is going to be incorporated into Torah Shebichsav. And in Afkamina, the difference is going to be Drasha. Can Moshe Rabbeinu apply the laws and the rules of Drashos to his Nevuah? And the answer is it depends. If Nevuah for Moshe Rabbeinu is only Torah Shebal Peh, it never will be incorporated into the written Torah, then we don't have the rules of Drasha. But if Moshe Rabbeinu already discerns that that Nevuah, insofar as it's a tzivui to Klal Yisrael, is going to be given and incorporated at Har Sinai into the written Torah, then the laws of Drasha apply. And therefore Tosfos submits that if Hayom Umachar would engender a Drasha Gemura, then it's not Moshe Midaito. then since Moshe Rabbeinu is being given something, a nevuah which will become Torah Shebichtav, he is therefore obligated to interpret that nevuah based on the rules of Torah Shebichtav, namely the laws of drasha.
We had it last week when he told the people not to collect the man on Shabbos. The Shabbos wasn't given yet.
Well, Shabbos was given at Mara, even before Matan Torah.
Right.
So that might be the exception to the rule. You know, there are certain mitzvahs that were given before Matan Torah. But without getting, let's not get sidetracked with Shabbos, because I'm just hoping that I'll survive this. You know, I'm asking for Siat Tishvayah. This is a big sugya over here. What we're saying is something which I think Rabbeinu Bechai indicates. If you take a look at the third source on your page, Rabbeinu Bechai says, "Lemanat asher yitzaves bona v'yes beso." Now, what's going on here is that Avraham Avinu, and for that matter, all the avos, receive what? Do they receive Torah or do they receive nevuah? What's the answer? Nevuah. And nevertheless, when they receive nevuah, says Rabbeinu Bechai in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, Nase divrei ha'avos b'kabbalah. Kabbalah means that which they received. They received a nevuah b'lok siva b'torah. And obviously, the nevuah that's given to the avos is not written in the Torah. The Torah is not going to be given until much later on in history at Har Sinai. So it's not written in the Torah. And nevertheless, that nevuah which they received kimo torah k'suva. It has the same status, to some extent, as Torah Ksuva. I'll just read quickly the rest of Rabbeinu Chananel, but we don't need this all. He says, "Umikana talomed ki ha-mishnah shehisdura v'agodas avos lebonim hi kabola shechayovim lishmar divreim kechiv divrei Torah Ksuva v'zevezeh shavim." And he says the following, that the nevuah that's given to the avos will ultimately be incorporated into Torah Shebichtav, and therefore that nevuah has a separate status. Even though it's below Ksiva b'Torah, nevertheless it's kmo Torah Ksuva. It's like it's written in the Torah. So Rabosai, my question to you today is the following. If we assume, as Tosus assumes, that Moshe added a day midaito because the drasha of Hayom Umacha was not a drasha gemura. Again, implying that had it been a drasha gemura, it would have the status of Torah, and the drashas would apply with all our discussion. But instead, Moshe Rabbeinu came to this conclusion on his own. I find this very scary. Because what is the impact of Moshe making this decision on his own?
He didn't receive it.
That the Torah is going to be delayed by one day. Now you and I may say, okay, Rabbi Berzon, fine. The Torah is going to be delayed by one day. Big deal, right? But it is a big deal. If you go back to Rashi at the beginning of the Torah, Rashi says, in the name of Chazal, that Yom HaShishi means the day, the sixth day of Sivan, when the Torah was given. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a condition with all of Maisa Bracious that everything depends upon this event, this Kabbalah Satorah. If there would be no Kabbalah Satorah, the world is going to revert to Tohu Vavohu, to complete non-existence. Not only that, the entire Klal Yisrael is waiting with great anticipation for this glorious moment in which they will receive the Torah. And Moshe says, you know what? I'm going to push it off by one day. What I'm asking is there any way that we can somehow understand, I mean, again, it's a chutzpahdikah question, but what motivated Moshe Rabbeinu to make what I consider a very stupendous decision? And perhaps the answer lies in Rashi, in Parshas Mishpatim, in next week's Parsha. If you take a look in Parshas Mishpatim, in Perek Chav Dalid, the Torah says the following, Ve'el Moshe Amar Elei El Hashem. Moshe gets the command to go up to the mountain. And then there's a whole bunch of psukim, we're not going to read them now. Vayikach Sefer Abris, Vayikra B'Ozne Ha'om, Vayomru, Kol Asher Diber Hashem Nase v'nishma. Correct? So when did this take place, Rav Hosai? When did Nase v'nishma take place? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, V'al Moshe Omar Ale, Parsha Zu, Nemra, Kodem Aseres Adibros, Ubiarba Besivha Nemrulo, Nemarlo Ale. Says Rashi, you want to date this Parsha? You date it by the 4th of Sivan. The 4th of Sivan. Now let's calculate this. Correct. If you have the 5th of Sivan on a Thursday, wait, let's just work backwards, right? Just 1 second. Does it work out? Maybe give me a minute to just work this out. Just 1 second. I'm not sure. I may have got myself a little bit confused. You gave up on me, George? Give me another minute. Maybe I'll get this straight. Don't give up on me.
I mean, it's very convenient for me.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay. Just 1 second. How does this work out? Just 1 second. If Kidashtem is going to be on Dalet Sivan,
is it Wednesday?
Then you have Hey and Vav. It doesn't work out on Shabbos according to this one.
It does.
How does it work out on Shabbos?
1 minute.
Okay, we have a lot of
Hey will be Thursday. Vav is Friday.
Right, but the Torah
is given on Shabbos.
The Torah was given on Shabbos. If we assume the Torah was given on Shabbos, correct? Let me just go over this one more time. I'm missing one day. If I can,
no,
go ahead, Harvey. I'll give you the floor in just 1 minute. Let me just clear my head for one split second. If we say Moshe gave them Thursday and Friday, and then the Torah was given on Shabbos, according to that Monday Omar. Right. So this Rashi of Yom Dalid would reflect a different shita in the Gemara, and there's going to be a machlokus in the Gemara what day Shabbos was given. But I'm not sure that what do you say, Harvey? Go ahead, speak louder.
What day was the Torah given?
What day was the Torah given? I meant to say. What did I say? What day was the Torah given? Yeah. Okay, so I got caught up in a little bit of a... But let's see if I can still suggest what I want to suggest. On that very day, Dalet Sivan, Rashi says, before Aseres HaDivros, is Vayikach Sefer HaBris, there was a Krisas Bris on that very day, and Moshe Rabbeinu takes the dam and he separates it into two and he sprinkles half of it onto Klal Yisrael, and that's called the Dam HaBris. And on that very day of Krisas Bris is Vayikra B'Ozne Ha'am Vayomru Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Nase V'Nishma. So what I want to suggest is the following. We said that everything depends upon the 6th of Sivan. Correct? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world needs to be redeemed from Tohu Vavohu, right? Yeah. From creation, according to Chazal, from creation until the 6th of Sivan is how many years? Anybody know?
No.
It's 2,000 years. That's called the Alpayim Shnos Tohu Vavohu. Correct? There are going to be 26 generations from the creation until Har Sinai, and everything depends upon what?
The Kabbalah Satara.
But what do you mean by Kabbalah Satara? Let's be very precise. Kabbalah Satara means the Aseres HaDivros. Can you offer another possibility? What is the Kabbalah Satara? Exactly. That's what I think Moshe Rabbeinu understood. That How could he, we ask the question, how could he have the audacity, in quotation marks, right, to decide on his own to push off the giving of the Torah with all his calculations and all his sfaros by one day? The whole universe depends upon that day. Correct? And if you push it off by a day, who knows? You know, maybe Hashem will decide that, you know, it's not worth the experiment. Let's go back to Tov Vavo. Oh. But the answer is that Tov Vavo is no longer an option. We've already clinched, we've already written in stone that the world will exist. It will continue to exist. And the will of Hashem, that upon which the entire experiment of creation was contingent, has come to fruition. At what day of the calendar has it come to fruition? On Dalet Sivan. Why on Dalet Sivan? Because that's the day on which Klal Yisrael said Nase V'Nishma, and that's the same day on which HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to command the people V'Kidashtem Hayom U'Machar. Again, according to this calculation, it would probably be on Gimel Sivan, right? Because let's assume that Gimel Sivan is the calendar date in which Klal Yisrael said Nase V'Nishma, correct? On that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, V'kidashtem hayom u'machar.
No.
Correct? No, on Wednesday, which is 1 second. Yom Revi is Dalet. Yom Shishi.
Yom Chamishi is
Tei.
Shishi is Vov. Shabbos is Zayin.
Zayin of what? Of Nisan? Of, I'm sorry, of Sivan?
Yeah.
But we're assuming now, again...
But he said it on Yom Revi. He said it in Yom Revi in the morning and in the afternoon.
Right. Okay, could be that Rashi is going according to the Man Yomer that the Torah was given on the 7th of Sivan. But we're assuming now that the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan. If the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan, that's A, and B, the Torah was given on Shabbos, then we're going to have to assume that Nase V'Nishma took place on Gimel Sivan, and now we're going to have 3 days of Prisha, 3 days of Kedusha. That's going to be on Dalet Sivan, on Hey Sivan, and on Vav Sivan, which means that, just 1 second, maybe it does work out. Wait a second. Right. Rashi's Dalet Sivan would only work in our context, with our calculation, if the Torah was given on Zion Sivan. Yeah, we're not sure exactly on what day in Sivan the Torah was given. I mean, in our calendar, it's already set for Vav Sivan. But back in the day, it could have, you know, it all depends on Iber Chodesh, and therefore if Iyar was Meubar, then it would be Zion Sivan. If Iyar was Chaser, then it would be on Vav Sivan, right? That's the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Vav. The Gemara says Lefamim Behei, Lefam Bevav, Lefam Bezayin. You know, today we celebrate Shavuos Matan Torah on the 6th of Sivan. Okay, no questions now, Rabbi. Again, I apologize. No questions. Yesterday I took questions and I sort of regretted it. Okay, all right. So again, we'll have plenty of time after the Shia, but, you know, there's a group here, and we have something set for today, and I apologize profusely, but that's all I can do.
I don't know what you said.
That's why we have what we call, in football, they have what's called a post-game discussion. Okay. So again, Rabosai, what I want to take out of this part of the Shia, so we can go on to the next part of the Shia, is the following. What we need to take out of this Shia is A, that Moshe Rabbeinu made a decision to push off Matan Torah by a day. The decision was made on his own. He had the ability to apply, says Tosis, the rule of Drasha. This was not a Drasha Gemura, therefore he needed Haskava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in the context of Moshe's Drasha, he understood that it wouldn't be enough to have Prishon Yom Revi. We'd have to have Machar, which is Yom Chamishi, plus the day after, because it says Hayom U'Machar Yom Shishi, and then the Torah would be given on Shabbos according to that Monday. All right, let's go on, Rabosa. Do you see where this? Yeah, go ahead. Do you see where the stars are? So it says like that. Vayomer Yisro Baruch Hashem Asher Hitzil Eschem Miyad Mitzrayim Umiyad Paro Asher Hitzil Esa'om Mitachas Yad Mitzrayim. So let me read to you the Ramban. You'll see it as the first source in the middle of your page. The Ramban says the following. If you take a look at what Yisro says in his bracha, in his blessing and praise, he says, Hitzil eschem yad Mitzrayim umiyad paro. He has rescued you from the hand of Mitzrayim and from the hand of Paro. And are there two different elements here of salvation? Says the Ramban, Ki asa imachem nes gadol. He performed for you a great miracle. Shelo hargu eschem Paro v'amo. That Paro and his am, his nation, did not put you to death. Ki yavo ba'avurchem aleichem makos gedolos bi'artzom. He says that there were great plagues, right, makos, the Eser makos, that were brought upon the land of Egypt. Ba'avurchem, meaning because of you. V'hoya hanes hazeh gadol b'moshe. And this miracle was, shall we say, especially great as far as Moshe is concerned, right? Because keep in mind, it was Moshe who faced, in a Ponim, he faced Paro directly. He was the one, Moshe, who brought the plagues upon Mitzrayim. And therefore, it would have made sense that Paro would, Paro's anger would be directed first and foremost towards Moshe Rabbeinu. We put Moshe Rabbeinu to death. So that's number one. Hoya nes hazeh gadol b'Moshe. Then the Ramban says, Al kein hizkiro l'nochach b'chlal. Now the word nochach here means in second person. In other words, Moshe says eschem, which is a general second person, right? It's a plural. It means you in the plural. And what is Yisro saying over here? Yisro is saying Eschem, meaning you, Moshe Rabbeinu, together with the people, were saved. That's Nes number one. The old Nes, Akhashar Hitzel Sa'am Mitachas Yad Mitzrayim. And another great miracle, and that is what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu rescues the nation of Israel from the hand of Mitzrayim. Shehem, Shehayuhem, Biyad Mitzrayim, V'yotzu Misham, L'cherus Olam. Right, that they were slaves in Mitzrayim, and they went out to Cherus Olam, freedom, I guess you'd say everlasting freedom. So what do we have here in this Ramban, before we get to the Ibn Ezra? The Ramban says that there were two rescues. One is the rescue from death, right? And that specifically, uniquely applies to Moshe, and of course the rest of the people. And there was a second miracle, and that is that Hashem saved the people of Israel from what? From slavery, and granted them a freedom which he calls Cherus Olam. Correct? And if you take a look at Birchas Kriyat Shema, I think you'll see that phrase that we thank Hashem for Cherus Olam. With regard to slavery, Moshe is not singled out, right? Because we don't know. There's a whole discussion in Ramban, not here, but elsewhere, whether Moshe was ever enslaved. Assuming he was never enslaved, the second rescue here that Yisro is referring to is Hitzil Es Ha'am, correct? Because Yad Mitzrayim here means the slavery to Mitzrayim. So that's Ha'am. Where does Yisro, in what context does Yisro use the word Eschem? in which he's addressing himself to Moshe and to the people, that's Miyad, Miyad Mitzray, Miyad Paro, that's a reference to saving and sparing them from death and from murder. Now the Ramban quotes the Ibn Ezra. I think I have the Ibn Ezra for you on the page. The Ibn Ezra is actually not here in Parashas Yisro, but rather in Perek Yudalid, right, which we read last week, in Parashas Shlach. There it says, Vayomer Moshe, you remember that the people are overwhelmed by fear because the Mitzrayim are in hot pursuit. And Moshe turns to the people, Al Tiro, don't be afraid. It's Yatzburu, it's Yeshua Hashem. So the Ibn Ezra says, Yesh L'tmoa, Eich Yorei Machne Godel Shel Shesh Meos Elef Ish Me'arod V'machreim. Again, you and I would have offered many different answers to this question, but the Ibn Ezra doesn't choose any of our answers. He wants to know, why was it that the people, 600,000 strong, couldn't gather their forces together and confront the Mitzrim? Lama lo yilachma al nafshim v'al b'neihem? Why couldn't they fight for their lives and for the lives of their children? Hatshuva, the answer is, and he goes into a whole psychological mentality here of the mental set of the people of Israel. Ki ha-Mitzrim hayu adonim li-Yisrael. The Mitzrim were the masters who had enslaved the people of Israel for two centuries plus. V'zeh ador ha-yotzei Mitzrayim lomed min u'urav. They were ragil. They were used to, from their inception, lisbol to suffer all Mitzrayim. V'nafsho shfela. The Jewish people just didn't have it in. They couldn't muster up the mental and psychological energy to rise up as a military power and defend themselves against Mitzrayim. Eich yachol ata, could they now lilochem and adonav to fight against their own masters? And therefore, ha'yisrael nirpim, they were weak. Nor did they know the tactics of war. And that's what we'll see later, says the Ibn Ezra, that when it comes to Amalek, it was only the tefillah of Moshe that was able to save Klal Yisrael from that formidable enemy called Amalek. So in any event, when we speak about Chirus Olam here, and this is the great phrase of Yisro, that Hashem saved Bnei Yisrael, rescued them, and freed them for everlasting freedom. That's called Chirus Olam. And he had brought upon Mitzrayim, the Makos. Now he had them drown in the Yamsuf. All this is something that we have to appreciate, and we have to sing Hashem's praises. We really did not have the wherewithal to save ourselves, not from physical annihilation, and certainly not from slavery. We didn't have the ability, according to the Ibn Ezra, to face Mitzrayim as a military counter force. And therefore, Yisro is thanking Hashem, blessing Hashem, because he rescued the people from Mitzrayim. And not only that, he brought them down into the sea. So that's all as far as this great phrase of Yisro. Yisro then declares, what we saw as Pasuk Yud, now Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ato Yadati, Ki Gadol Hashem Mikol Helokim, Ki Badover Asher Zadu Aleihem. Okay? What does this mean? Literally, the translation here is, through the matter that they had acted maliciously against them. Very ambiguous phrase. Says the Ramban, Pirusha, what this means is, Badovar Asher Hezidu HaMitzrim Al Yisrael Yadati Shehu Gadol Mikol Elokim. In other words, the Egyptians acted maliciously against Israel, and from that very punishment that they suffered, I see how great God is. That's what Yisro declares. V'tam zeh, what does this mean? V'nei Hashem gazar al Yisrael v'avodim v'inu osam. All that was included in the original Bris Bein HaMitzrayim, the original decree against the Klal Yisrael, was that the people of Egypt would enslave them, they would oppress them. That was the level of persecution that the Egyptians had in the original divine plan. But the Egyptians went beyond that. And why were they subject to such a great punishment? And the answer is, because they exceeded their mandate. You know, the Egyptians made a decision on their own to act maliciously against the people of Israel. And the Egyptians had decided to eliminate Klal Yisrael from the world, as they said, let us deal wisely with them because they'll become numerous. And then at some point later on, after the enslavement, Paro commanded to the Mialdos, to the midwives, to kill the Israelite sons. And therefore, the final punishment would come through the water, the same water that they wanted to use to kill the firstborn Israelites. And this is what Hashem had promised Avram Avinu back in Parshas Lech Lecha. It says, "V'gamas agoy asher yavodu don anochi." I will judge and punish that nation that will subjugate the Jewish people. V'hine Hashem ro'as machshavtom. God was aware of the intent of the Egyptians to obliterate Israel from the world. V'nikem, v'nakam mihem, al zdon libam. And Hashem therefore took revenge and made out punishment for the malice of their heart. V'chein omer ha'kosev od, ki yodata ki ezidu aleihem. And this is a pasuk in Tanakh. God, you knew that they acted maliciously against them. Ki ha'onesh bavur hazadon shechashvu lasos lahem. The punishment was met out, was visited upon Egypt on account of the zadon, the malice that they intended and directed towards the Israelites. Vehine Hashem ro'al alevav. Yisro says, I see that Hashem understands the heart, meaning the heart of Mitzrayim. He understood what their intention was, and therefore Yosef Mishpat Ashukim, he does justice for those who are Ashukim, those who are subjugated, those who are exploited. Vinokem Ubalchema, he's vengeful, he's full of wrath. These are all Psukim in Tanakh. V'yemocha v'yodim, and no one can impede him. And what it means is that Yisro was singing the song of praises because, A, God saw into man's heart, he perceived what their evil was, he understood that they were going beyond their mandate. They only had a mandate to subjugate the Jewish people, but not to try to destroy the Jewish people. They therefore maliciously decided to go beyond what was included in the original divine scheme. And now Yisro says, "B'dover shazadu aleihem." They wanted to throw the firstborn Israelites into the water. Hashem is going to use water to destroy them. It's mayim plus mayim, and that's going to be the mida keneged mida that indicates, that demonstrates the greatness of Hashem, and no one can stop Hashem. Basically, what Yisro is saying is that God has all the power; that man can decide whatever he wants to decide. But ultimately, justice and punishment will be meted out by Hashem. The Ukulis, and here the Ramban mentions Ukul Sha'omar, he translates the words Arei b'pizgama dechashivu mitzroi lemeidan yas Yisrael bei daninun. The very thing which the Egyptians intended to judge or to harm Israel, God judged them. Yirtza lomar, his intention is, what does Unklus want to tell us here? Ki haya ansham al tviyas hayiladim v'yor sheinenu bichlal v'avodim v'inu osam. This way the Ramban embellishes the Unklus. I mean, I don't know if Unklus had this in mind, but that's how the Ramban understood Unklus. the Egyptians were punished because of their intent to drown all the Jewish children, the firstborn males, in the river. And that wasn't included in the original decree of Hashem, V'avadu v'inu osam. They were enslaved and oppressed the people of Israel. The Alkan, and therefore Ibdom b'mayim, Hashem destroyed them through water. The fact that God chose to punish the Egyptians through water, Yisro realizes that the punishment of the Egyptians of throwing the Israelite babies into the river was an act that proved that the Egyptians were not merely fulfilling God's prophecy for Israel and God's decree to undergo and initiate persecution and affliction. They were acting out of malicious cruelty, and that's the reason why they're punished. This presentation of the Ramban really touches on a very, very profound theological issue, and that is, when God decrees something and the people of Israel must suffer punishment, enslavement, and golus, and so forth and so on, why then are our oppressors, why are our enemies taken to task and punished, when in essence they're just fulfilling the original decree of God? And the Ramban takes this question very seriously. You and I might have said, well, you know, even if God decrees something, and that's the will of God, but nevertheless, who asked you to be the shliach, to stand forward and go up to the plate and be the messenger of God to implement that terrible thing against the Jewish people? What right do you have to do that? But the Ramban doesn't see it that way. The Ramban says that, that if a person is doing something which is the will of God, he cannot be punished for that. Even if it's unbeknown to him, even if it's malicious, even if it's unjustified. At what point does divine punishment take over? When it goes, when man's actions and man abuses his freedom of choice and it goes beyond the will of God. Within the will of God, man is protected from punishment. Once he exceeds beyond the will of God, that's when man is punished. So the Kol HaBen HaYelod HaYaorot HaShlichu, that decision, Havad Ischak Malo, that already goes beyond the divine plan and the divine will. Okay, Rabbosai, we'll take a break here. For those who can stay, let's take a look at the very next pasuk in the parasha, and that's pasuk Yud Beis. It says, Vayikach Yisro Chosei Moshe Ola Uzvachim, right? And Yisro took a burnt offering, it says here, Lelokim, and he brought it for God. And Ola is called a burnt offering. Then it says Zvachim, he translates that as as a feast offering. Vayavo Aaron v'chol Ziknei Yisrael, Lechol Lechem v'chosei Moshe Lifnei Elokim. Says the Ramban, now, the Ramban is of the impression that when we read the order of the psukim, we get the impression that this took place before Klal Yisrael and Yisrael came to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. Gam yitochin lefareish shesider hakosuv kol inyan Yisrael. It's also possible, says the Ramban, there's another possibility, that the psukim were organized in a way and presented in a way that first Hashem wants to tell you everything about Yisro, right? This whole parasha was added for Yisro. So there's one continuous narrative about Yisro. And Enochinami Avalhoye Ze Achar Sha'omar Imohem Yomim. But Enochinami, these sacrifices that are mentioned here in the Psukim actually took place after Yisro had remained with Bnei Yisro for many, many days. Okay, for many, many days. It means even after Har Sinai, and had converted, correct, Nisgayer, through Mila, Tvila, Tzaz, Dom, and Kamishpat. Right, these are all three elements that make up Gerus. Number one is Mila, number two is Tefillah, number three is Karbon, which is called Hartzaz Damim. And therefore, Vayavo Aaron v'chol zikni Yisrael lechol lechem imo biyom chasunoso. The Ramban says that it says here in our pasuk that Aaron, together with the elders of Israel, came to eat bread with the father-in-law of Moshe before Hashem. And what was the point of this whole celebration? It was Yom Chasunoso. It had the status of a chasana. And a chasana requires a suda. Now, if the feast that was made here, we call it the Sudas Yisro, was to celebrate what occasion? Why is it called a chasana?
To become a yid.
Oh, so I thought that because he enters into the Jewish religion, that itself is like a chasana. But if you look at the Ramban here, he adds a few words. Ki chasan, why was he called a chasan? Chasan damin. Who? For the bris milah. So the suda here was not a sudas gerus. We don't have a source for a sudas gerus, but a sudas bris milah. But it's a little bit odd because this bris milah is not just a classical bris milah. This is the bris milah of gerus. So I don't know. I can't tell you exactly what the Ramban has in mind. Either the Ramban has in mind that it's a sudas bris milah. That's what the words chasan damim seem to indicate. Or more likely, what's a little bit more logical, is that since this Mila was part and parcel of his Gerus, therefore this whole party was in honor of the Gerus of Yisro.
The Mizvochim were eaten by who?
By the Kohen.
Only.
By your ancestors.
Only.
Well, I mean, I don't know, you have to know different Karbonos, part of the Karbonos are eaten by the Kohen. All those are not eaten by the Kohenim at all.
But any of these olas are eaten by the people, by the person who brings it?
Well, parts of it are. I guess Shalmei Simcha. Shalmei Simcha have a din of Shlomim, and they're separated, part of which, you know, the Kohen eats, and part of which the Israel eats.
It doesn't say that Aaron ate from only the bread, he didn't eat from the Zvochim.
Ah, why does the Torah say lecho lechem? That's an excellent question. I didn't get a chance to research. Does Rashi say anything about that? I don't know. But what Rashi does say is Vayovo Aaron. The Pasuk says Vayovo Aaron. Where is Moshe in this whole picture? When Moshe says Rashi Eichan Holach, where did he disappear? Valahushi Yotzel Akrosso, he was the one who, at the beginning of the parasha, went out to greet Yisro. Did he all of a sudden, you know, what do you have, he had to go to to perform an unveiling or a funeral? I mean, where was he? He was the one who gave all this honor to Aaron. Now we're making this festive meal in honor of, according to Rabbi Negerus of Yisro, and Moshe Nenu. And Rashi says something amazing. Ella Shahaya Omeid Umeshamesh Lifneya. He didn't sit down to eat at the meal. He was the Mesharis. Again, this is Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the Adon HaNeviim. He speaks to Hashem Ponim El Ponim. Lokom Yisrael Kamoshe Od. He is the Moshe Rabbeinu who is called Vayi Bishur Melech. And where is he? He's Omeid Umeshamesh Lifneya. And I would think that this is a lesson for every son-in-law, that when you mechabed your father-in-law and you want to give him kavod and you have a suda in his honor, you should be the mishamish. I don't have a problem with the fact that Moshe was omed a mishamish. I mean, that's the honor of Mikol Adam of Moshe Rabbeinu, and lechvod his father-in-law, he did this. My problem is those who received Moshe's shimush. I couldn't even imagine how you could sit there and allow Moshe Rabbeinu to fill up your cup, you know. And then it says Lifnei Elokim. Rashi says Mikan Shanena Misuda Shal Tamini Chacham Misubim Ba Keilu Nene Miziv Hashchina. Why does it say Lifnei Elokim? They're eating in the presence of God, because a Seuda, the way we understand it in Yiddishkeit, is not just an opportunity to eat and eat and eat. You know, and most people say the shmog is better than the meal itself. No, it's the Talmidei Chachamim. The Talmidei Chachamim who are participating in this Suda change the entire nature of the Suda. They elevate the Suda. And it's as if you were being Nene Miziv Hashchina when you participate in this Suda. So therefore, whenever you have the opportunity to make a Suda and invite Talmidei Chachamim or one Talmud Chacham to be there with you, you have to understand that what you're bringing with you is the Shechina. And you're really radically changing and elevating the entire Suda. And finally, the Ramban says something amazing in the next parasha of Yisro. When I say Yisro, means Yisro's greatness. Yisrael, remember, comes to give Moshe Rabbeinu an Eitzah, and he says that you should organize, you know, Batei Mishpat, so to speak, you know, Dayanim, Sarameah, Saralof, this. And then, after this whole presentation, this reminds me very much of Yosef after he interpreted the dreams, now Yisro adds another Musa Shmuz. And he says in Pasuk Chaf, Vizharta Eshem, please warn the Jewish people and castigate them and make them absolutely meticulous as Achukim, as a Torah, to observe the Torah. Vodato lehem es haderech yelchu bavas amasa shayasun. The Rabban wants to know why at this particular juncture does Yisro feel compelled to notify Moshe Rabbeinu that he better warn the people of Israel to observe all the laws, all the chukim. Why? Says the Ramban, V'todia lahem es haderech asher yelchu bo al pi haTorah v'amitzvah. Shetazhiram atomiod, warn them greatly or very seriously, exceedingly, I guess you'd say, caution them about the Torah and the mitzvos. Hodolo gam b'mesha omar v'hodati chukei elokim v'es toroso. You know, it's Yisro accepted all of the advice of. I'm sorry, Moshe Rabbeinu accepted all of the advice of Yisro, and even with regard to the teaching of the Torah, and you know, to make sure that he warns them meticulously and exceedingly about the Torah, gam bazeh etza, and this was a comment of Yisro and a piece of advice to Moshe Rabbeinu, lahazir osam mi'od, caution the people again exceedingly. But why? Why at this point? And he adds the Ramban, again you have to read the Ramban carefully, now that Moshe accepted the recommendation of Yisro, that Moshe would not be personally directly judging them anymore, and that's what we saw in the Psukim, the people would not have to stand trial before Moshe. Maybe they would have less fear of punishment. Maybe they had less contact with Moshe. Moshe would cease to have the same kind of impact on them. Yisro was therefore worried about this. And therefore Yisro urged Moshe to instill fear in the hearts of Klal Yisrael. The Samderech here has a slightly different understanding of this Ramban. And he says, Kama Omek, Hadas hoya b'mishkal atzoso shel Yisro shekaes me'achav Moshe Rabbeinu lo yesh shofet ein dai kifi shoyad ato el yesh tzorf azhara v'azhara lahazir osam mi'od. In other words, according to the Ramban, the way that the Samderech understands it is that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu would have to be exceedingly careful and warning the people to observe the mitzvahs is because lo yeh hashofet. Moshe Rabbeinu will no longer be the judge. Maybe we could fit it into the Samderech as well, that if he wouldn't be the judge over the people, then how would he instill fear of the Lord, you know, fear of the mitzvahs and not violating the mitzvahs in the hearts of the people? And therefore Yisro gave him this Eitzah that he should go ahead and do so. Okay, Rabosa, we still have a few more pieces here, but we'll leave it for Mirtz Hashem another time. And I want to thank you all for participating.